right. Well, good morning, everyone. Like he said, my name is Marcus, and my wife's name is Sarah. You'll get a chance to meet her and hear a little more about both of us at the lunch. So I'm looking forward to that already. And so thank you again for welcoming us in here this weekend. We've really enjoyed, we've gotten to meet a good number of you over the last couple days at different events. We had a men's breakfast yesterday, had a lot of great fellowship. A lot of great food, a lot of great bacon. We could smell that from the hotel, I think. It was amazing. So thanks for welcoming us here. We've really enjoyed getting to know some of you. We look forward to getting to know you a little bit better throughout the day today. You'll hear more about us, but I wanted to just kind of introduce a little bit about our family right now. So here's a picture of a family trip we took recently. So this is me and Sarah, and we've all got helmets on, so we look pretty cool. I think my kids would kill me if they knew I was showing this picture. But we went on a bike ride. I know you have a pretty good trail right here in Birmingham, or in Covington as well. We live in Birmingham right now, and I think it's important. Anytime somebody comes to talk to me or I hear a speaker, I want to know where they're coming from. Where are their roots? Where do they come from? And so I wanted you to see exactly where I come from. So this next picture is, it's kind of hard to see. This is a Google Earth image of 1371 Northwest Indianola Road, which is the farm where I grew up in Kansas. This is near Wichita, Kansas. And if we could zoom in, you'd see little brown specks. There's a lot of cows on this farm, okay? So my brothers still live there. That's where I grew up. Here's another, a little different shot. This is from the top of the grain elevator, kind of looking out over the property with one of my daughters. But that's where I grew up. That's where I am from. And so I wanted you to see where this person is coming from. Currently, I live in Birmingham, Alabama with our family. I've been at this church, Bill said, for 9 years. That's actually not correct. I've been on staff for 9 years. I was an intern 2 years before that. And we attended there 2 years before that. So we've been a part of this church for quite a while. Love it and have learned so much there. Have been able to be used of God as a pastor there. And looking forward to what God has in store for us next. And appreciate the chance to come before you today. This morning we're going to be in John chapter 15. And the title of the message is Rooted. And so this morning, as I told you where my physical roots are, my family roots are, but I think the most important thing any of us can determine is where are your spiritual roots? Where are you rooted spiritually? And John 15 is a passage that speaks about that. And so I want us to read, I'm going to read these verses. If you want to turn in your Bible there or just follow along on the screen, we're going to read these verses together. So John chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. But if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. If you will, let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the chance this morning to look at your word. God, I pray that you would hear the message that you want us to hear. And help us to honor you and bring much glory to your name. It's in the name of your son we pray. Amen. So when you look at this passage or hear this passage, it may not be a new passage to you, but this is one of those passages, and you'll see on the screen, that paints a picture in your mind. I think God gives us word pictures throughout Scripture that really help us to understand deep truths. And so you heard that I'm from a farm. Actually, one of the things that I would say that really captures what I believe I'm called to do as a pastor, and what churches are called to do as churches is rooted in these farming metaphors. There are so many farming metaphors, agricultural metaphors in Scripture. And it's really all about growth, isn't it? Growing closer to Christ, growing in your own heart, and then sharing what you have, multiplying that and bearing fruit to others. And this passage really, I think, opens that up in a really powerful way, because if you look at this word picture this morning, there are really four kind of characters, four things that grab your attention when you look at this picture. Number one would be in this passage, the vine. Jesus says, I am the true vine. That's the first thing. The second thing would, he says, and my Father is the vine dresser. So you see here in the picture we have, or the gardener. If you have an NIV, it says the gardener, or a farmer, some translations say. The third thing he says, you are the branches. So the branches are the third character. And then the last thing that is everywhere throughout this passage is fruit. Fruit. And so we want to talk about kind of what all those things are, what they mean. But importantly, I think we need to realize that there's one word that really ties them all together, and that's really what we're going to talk about this morning, and that is the word abide. Jesus says, abide in me. Some of you may have translations that say, remain in me. And so what we really want to do is drill down on that word this morning and say, what does that word mean? What does it look like in your life? What does it look like in my life? For me to abide in Christ. And what does it look like? What does that mean? And so if we were just going to talk about this word abide and think about what really captures it, really at the center of that passage in verses 4 and 5, I think is really the center of what defines this idea of abiding. This idea of abiding, it says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, if you read through these verses, you notice that word just keeps coming up over and over and over again. I think like 5 times in those 2 verses that I just read. Abide, abide, abide. Jesus says, abide in me. If you abide in me, abide. What does that word mean? I think we could use, I don't know. That's one of those words that you probably don't use in your everyday conversation much, right? Like, where were you yesterday? Oh, I was abiding down at the coffee shop. You know, you don't say that. Or, who were you with? Well, I abided with my friends. You just don't use that. So we need to like think about what does that word actually mean? It's kind of a word you probably hear in church. And you might even say, yeah, I've been abiding with Christ. But really, what do you mean when you say that? I think there's a number of words we could kind of throw out to kind of help us capture the idea of what this means. One would be to remain. The NIV says remain in me. So basically to remain means you arrive at one place and you remain there. You stay there. You stay put. Put your anchor down, if you will. And so that's one word we could say, to remain or to stay. Another thing would be to hold fast. You come to a place and you hold fast to it. You hold on to it. Another thing we could say to be to stick. You want something to stick. Stick like glue. Or to endure. The idea of endurance. This word, it really captures a lot of things. But this idea of enduring and staying connected. I think connected is a big part of this. And one thing that I think maybe the word that I think would help us understand it the most, since this is an agricultural metaphor, is the idea of being rooted. Of rooted. And that's why I chose that title for our sermon. I think that's a word in our vocabulary today that we can understand very easily. This idea of putting your roots down, sinking your roots deep, finding your nourishment and your source of growth from what you're rooted in. And so this morning I want us to think about abiding in Christ, or being rooted in Christ. And this is not a concept that begins in the New Testament, by the way. If you read, for example, Psalm 1 talks about the righteous man, the righteous person who is like a tree planted by streams of water, whose leaf does not wither and prospers in all that he does and bears fruit in his season. So this idea of being rooted deeply in the life that God gives us is not new in the New Testament. The source of our life has always been from God. True life can only be found in a relationship with God. And that's the other thing about this word abide, is that it's talking about a relationship. It's not talking about head knowledge. It's not talking about just doing the right things, as we're going to see. But this is all about a relationship with the living God, being connected, being rooted in a relationship with the living God. Well, what does that look like? What does that look like? Jesus says, abide in me, be rooted in me. If you're not rooted in me, you can't do anything of lasting value. So what is this that we are called to be rooted in? If you have a bulletin in front of you, you'll see just a number of blanks. We're going to walk through these blanks and kind of just unpack this idea of what it means to be rooted in Christ. That's the first thing, is to be rooted in Christ. You know, one thing that's interesting is when you read scripture, like John 15, such a deep passage. There's a lot in here we're not going to be able to talk about today, okay? But when you read a passage like John 15, you have to read the passages around it. John 14 comes before John 15. And in John 14, it's really interesting. Jesus starts out by saying, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I not have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? Jesus is talking to his disciples about one day at the end of your life, at the end of time, you are going to come and dwell with me in heaven. But he goes on in chapter 14 to say, guess what? During your life on earth, I am going to come and dwell with you through the Holy Spirit. If you are rooted in me, in chapter 15, we see him talking about if you abide in me, I will live in you. And that changes everything. That changes everything. And so to be rooted in Christ, to be abiding in him, we know that means that he is dwelling in us. And so we'll talk a little bit more in a second about how that happens. But there are a couple things in your bulletin that you'll see. When we talk about abiding in Christ, being rooted in Christ, what does that mean? What does that look like? Well, I think the first thing that this passage really starts off with is the idea of being rooted in his pruning, okay? Pruning. And that's a word that might sound a little foreign to us unless you have an orchard or a vineyard or a garden, but this idea of pruning means on a plant or on a grapevine, for example, you do this thing called pruning to cut away parts that don't need to be there. And so what I would just say this, when John starts out here in chapter, or Jesus starts out in chapter 15, verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it may bear even more fruit. So if you are connected to Christ, if you are rooted in him, the very first thing in this passage that we're made aware of is that God says, I will prune you. I will prune you. Things must be cut away so that you can bear more fruit. And that seems like a funny place to start, doesn't it? But it's not. That's where our Lord begins this conversation. He says, if you are connected to the true vine, God will use your connection to prune you and then to even bear more fruit. What does that look like? You know, it may be in your life that there are things that distract you from following Christ. Things that should not be there. Things that lead you in the opposite direction of Christ. And God says, I want to cut those things away so that you are undistracted and you can follow me, you can abide in me, you can be rooted in me and not be choked out by the worries and concerns of this life. Jesus says that. Those things need to be pruned away. Sometimes other things that we would call good things get pruned away as well. Sometimes your health gets taken away. Why? Jesus says so that you can bear more fruit. God wants to teach you things through difficulty sometimes in a way that's painful. But you think about this, well, why would a loving God do things that hurt me? Why would a loving God do things that hurt me? Now, this is a deep question, but I think this analogy helps us to see why. Because on a plant, a loving gardener who wants the best for the garden, who wants the best for the plant, will cut away the things or trim away the things that prevent that plant from growing to its full potential. And so, whatever those things might be, whether good or bad, God says, I want to take those away. You think about a surgeon whose goal is to heal his patient or her patient. Sometimes they have to cut and do surgery in order to heal. And sometimes those things are painful. And yet on the other side, you come out healthy and restored and able to bear fruit. So this is where the conversation begins. Another thing, a way that I saw this growing up, I even saw this in my garden this summer. I grow corn every year, okay? And we have a beautiful corn stalk in front of us. And I remember my dad teaching me this. There would be these two pieces of corn that would come out of the side of the corn, not the ears, but two more plants. And I thought, well, now we've got three plants of corn. This is great. We're going to get 3 ears of corn at least. And my dad would say, no, tear those off. Those are called suckers. And all they do is suck nutrients away from the main plant, and you'll have three little bitty ears, or maybe no ears at all, instead of at least one or two big ears. And so he said, even though you feel like you're hurting the plant, you have to take those away. So what a great picture God gives us here in John 15, that to be rooted in Christ means that you willingly accept the pruning that God brings your way, whatever that might be. That looks like not running away from it, not growing bitter when God brings some pruning into your life. But this is part of what it means to be rooted in Him, trusting that our good Heavenly Father knows what's best for us. And I don't say that lightly. Some of you may be going through some very difficult things, and I'm not standing here saying you should just love it and enjoy it. But I'm not saying it's not that it's easy. But we know that God tells us that we have a good and loving Father who's the farmer who takes care of us, and He'll do what we need. So rooted in Christ means to be rooted in His pruning. It also means to be rooted in His word, as we see in verse 7. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. Now, the concept here is actually a little different. If you think about the way that's worded, it sounds like the words are supposed to be rooted in us, right? Not us rooted in the words. Isn't that the way it was said? If my words abide in you, if my words are rooted in you. Now, here's the thing. Through other places where Jesus teaches us, such as the parable of the sower and the seed. If you don't know what that is, look that up sometime. It's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But Jesus tells us that our hearts are like the soil. And His word comes in and takes root in our hearts, and it can produce a great harvest. And here's the thing. How does that happen? I think the parable of the sower tells us, and it's suggested here, that we have to prepare our hearts to receive the word, so that the word can take root in us, so that the word can take root deeply in us. We root ourselves in the word at the same time as the word takes root in us. This is something you say, well, is it my responsibility for the word to take root in me, or is this God's responsibility? Whose job is this? Am I just supposed to sit here and wait for it to happen, or is it all on me to make it all happen? Jerry Bridges, I don't know how many of you have read any of his stuff, has this phrase that I love this phrase. He says, following Christ requires dependent responsibility. And this passage teaches that through and through. We must depend on Christ. We must depend on the Holy Spirit. We must depend on God to make this happen. We can't just take God's word on our own and make it happen. And yet God tells us things in His word that show us that we are responsible to work alongside Him, to work with Him, to do the things necessary, in this case, so that His word can take root in our heart. So what are those things? What does that look like? Are you reading God's word? Are you meditating on God's word? Do you know God's word? This is all a part of what it means to be rooted in Christ. And one thing that we can be sure of on this passage is that if you are not rooted in His word, or not growing in His word, then you will not bear fruit. You will not live the life He's designed for you. We cannot grow apart from knowing Christ and His word. Now, here's the one thing I do think we need to recognize if you're a believer, is that knowing the word is not the same as knowing Christ. Okay? Remember, this is a relationship. This is a relationship. Knowing the Bible is not the same as knowing the God of the Bible, knowing Jesus Christ. Now, you can't know Jesus Christ without knowing the word. It's an indispensable part of the process. But we must know Christ. And how do we do that? It's through His word. He says, if my words remain in you, if my words are rooted in you, you will bear much fruit. We're going to talk about what this fruit is here in just a minute. But is His word rooted in you? Are you rooted in His word? If you're a follower of Jesus, He asks you, let my words be rooted deeply in you. Let this happen. Spend time, spend effort on this. Then the third thing that we see is to be rooted in Christ, to abide in Christ means to be rooted in His will. This is at the end of verse 7. It says, if my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Now, I've read this verse before and I've thought, oh, good. So this means I can ask for anything I want and God's going to give it to me, right? Has anybody ever read? There's actually a couple of places. But you know what? We have to read this verse in context with all of Scripture, and also notice that it comes right after He says, my words abide in you. In other words, God says, I want your will to be the same as my will. I want you to be willing to follow the way that I've laid out. John 14, a little earlier, it talks about this idea of, in verses 13 and 14. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Now, what we need to realize here is that to be connected to Christ is to be rooted in his will. It means that we desire the same things that God desires. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, Matthew chapter 6, what are the first words that came out of his mouth? He said, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That's a huge part of prayer. This is talking about being rooted in prayer, asking God that his will would be done in our heart and be done in our lives. And so this idea of being rooted in his will is manifested by being rooted in prayer. The life of a believer who is rooted in Christ will be marked by a connection to God through prayer. Do you pray? Do you pray and have a conversation with the God of the universe? And I think what we see through the Lord's Prayer is that you're praying that his kingdom would grow, that his will would be accomplished in your life, so that you are praying that his will would be made clear in your life, that you would be working on the things related to his will, and that you, as individuals, would do his will. So that's the third thing. The fourth thing is to be rooted in his love. To be rooted in his love. And this is really where we get, I think, again, back to the heart of the passage, verses 9 and 10. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So Jesus tells us, I want you to abide in my love. How beautiful of a statement is that right at the end of that, or at the end of verse 9, it just says simply, abide in my love. Be rooted in my love. Well, what is this love? What is this love that he's talking about? Number one, he says, it's as I have loved you, abide in my love as I have loved you. What did Christ do to love us? He came down out of heaven, took on the form of a human, became a human so that he could live a perfect life and then die a death that we deserve, that he didn't deserve, but he deserved. And so that he could bring us peace with God. He says, abide in this love. Stay close to this love. Embrace this love. Be rooted in this love. And then you say, well, what is that supposed to look like? What does he say in verse 10? If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. So he basically says, keep my commandments. That's the way you abide in this love. And you might say, hold on, I thought we were talking about a relationship here, Marcus. And I would say, exactly we are. We're not just talking about rules. We're talking about God tells us the things he tells us. He gives us the commands he gives us to show us how life is truly meant to be lived. And he does that as a loving Savior, as a loving Father. And he says, I want you to do this in your relationship with me. Keeping these rules doesn't give you a relationship with me, but you do this because you have a relationship with me. So abide in my love. It looks like obedience. And the other thing we see, actually, the very next verse after our passage, verse 12, is this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So this love looks like loving God, abiding in love for God, but also it doesn't stay there. It means that you begin to love the people around you. And that's what we as Christians are called to do, is to love the people around us, to overflow with God's love to the people who are around us. So abide in his will, abide in his love, and then lastly, what we see is that we are called to be rooted in his joy. The last verse in our passage, verse 11, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. What does that mean to be rooted in his joy? What does that mean to have the joy of God in us? I think what you see when you read scripture is that joy is not just happiness, like happiness at a party. You might have happiness on one day for a birthday party. It's a big happy occasion, but it's only one day. Joy is this thing that we would call an eternal perspective. And that is, if you know Christ, if you're rooted in Christ, no matter what comes into your life, no matter what you experience, you know that at the end of time, you will have eternal, everlasting joy in the presence of our God. What an eternal perspective. And so I think, what does that look like? That looks like a life of gratefulness, a life of grateful obedience, a life of grateful joy, realizing that no matter what we encounter in life, God is greater and he's promised us something that will last forever, and that is eternal life. So I think before we kind of go on to that last section of the sermon, we need to kind of hit time out, press pause, and say, think about this question for a second. who or what are you rooted in? Honestly, where do you put your roots down today? Where do you find your source of strength in life? And where do you spend all your effort and energy? From whom do you, or what do you draw your strength? Some of you might say, well, it's in my career, my job, or my wealth, or my friends, or maybe it's in my sports team. Like, that's really where my life rises and falls, on those things, because that's what I'm just tied into. But in this passage, Jesus says, put your roots down into me. Abide in me. I am the one thing that can give you true life, not just today, not just tomorrow, but forever and ever. Abide in me and me alone. So how does that happen? You know, we've been talking about all these things about abiding in Christ, being rooted in him. And you might be saying, okay, I'm checking off this list. I think I'm doing this. I think I'm doing that. I guess that means I'm abiding in him. Well, I would say this. How do you begin to abide in him? How do you become rooted in him to begin with? Because checking off that list does not mean that you are rooted in him. Because see, one thing the Gospel of John tells us is that we become rooted in Christ through one thing, and that is through faith in him. Faith in him. Throughout the book of John, John tells us that the way to become connected, the way to come to know Christ, is by believing in him. This word believe, this word trust, means to stop trying on your own. Many of us as humans, we are wired to do this. We think that if I can just be a little bit better, if I can just spend a little more time in the Word, maybe if I'm nicer to people, then God will say, I'm good enough. I'm good enough. Yeah, you're good enough. You can come to heaven. But that is so wrong. You can never be good enough. You can never earn your way into heaven. God says the only way you can come into heaven, into a relationship with Christ, or into a relationship with me, is to be rooted in Christ. And that comes through your belief, through your trusting. When you say, I trust that Christ has saved me, that means that you stop saying, I think I'm good enough on my own. You say, I know I could never be good enough. Only Jesus could be good enough, and he is the one who gives me forgiveness. And so John makes it clear that to become rooted in Christ, we have to trust him wholly. We can't trust ourselves. We can't trust our pastor. We can't trust our church to be the thing that saves us. We can't trust anything other than Christ. Christ alone. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe in his name. We come into God's family. We come into a relationship with Christ by trusting him and not ourselves. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So we come to him by believing in him. The very last couple of verses of John 20 verse 31 says, these things are written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing, that's how you have life in his name. Only by believing in him, by trusting in him alone, abiding in him. That's how you become rooted in him, is by trusting that he is the one who has done the work. You cannot do this work, and you can't grow on your own either. Only through him, apart from me, you can do nothing. One other verse, Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. When we look at John 15, it reminds us over and over of all these truths that Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. It's only through God that you're going to grow. It's only through God that you're going to produce fruit. But ultimately, it's only through Jesus Christ that you will be able to have eternal life and eternal salvation. And so trust him, root yourself in him. If you haven't done that, do that today. If you have done that, then by all means, remain in him. Be rooted in him. Continue to root yourself deeply in these things that we've just talked about. But here's the thing. One other thing about when you're a farmer, okay, when you're trying to grow a field of crops, you might say, what a beautiful field of wheat, or a beautiful field of corn, whatever it might be. But if it never produces any grain, then we've just wasted our time. We've absolutely wasted our time. Even if it looks good, all that, what we have to remember is that the purpose of a plant is to bear fruit. And so God says, if you abide in me, you will bear fruit. And so let's talk for just a minute about what does this fruit look like. And that's the last kind of main point in your outline there. It says, we are rooted in Christ in order to bear fruit. We can't miss that in this passage. It says so many times, abide in Christ, be rooted in Christ. But then it talks about The reason we do all that is so that we can bear fruit. So what is this fruit? I think there are kind of three parts to this. The first part is that it's internal fruit. If you are rooted in Christ deeply, engaged in His Word, you are going to bear internal fruit. You're going to be healthy as a human being. You are going to be healthy as you follow Christ. You notice it talked about being, we talked about being rooted in His love, rooted in His joy. Those are the first two of what we call the fruits of the Spirit, which are found in Galatians 5. The things that are produced in the life of a Christian. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. These things will grow in your heart if God lives inside you. Guaranteed. He says, I will do this. And so you are rooted so that you can bear internal fruit. God is making you more and more like His Son. And when you're rooted in His love, you look more and more like His Son too. When you overflow with love for other people. So internal fruit is part of this. But then I think external fruit is a part of it as well. When we talk about bearing fruit, it's not just what God's doing in your life. He is bearing fruit in your life so that you can share what you have with others and it multiplies. It multiplies to many other people. So external fruit, this idea of not keeping to yourself whatever it is that Christ has given you, eternal life. Share that with others. You have this message. You must share it with others. That's part of abiding in Christ, being rooted with Him. He is producing fruit in your life so that you can turn around and help Him produce fruit in the lives of others. Invest in other people. Always look outside yourself. Always look outside this church. A healthy person is bearing internal fruit and external fruit. A healthy church is bearing internal fruit and external fruit. Reaching out to the world around us. I see these words on the wall behind all of you. It says, we are equipped, engaged to share the love of Christ in a world desperately needing Him. Desperately needing Him. And God says, keep your eyes open, look at the needs of the world, and reach out to those and share with them so I can create a harvest amongst them as well. So internal fruit, external fruit. And then the last thing we notice in this passage, I love this, is that God says, I want you to bear much fruit, much fruit. There's a progression here in verse 2. Jesus says, every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it may bear more fruit. But then you skip down to verse 8. We go from bearing more fruit. By this my Father is glorified so that you may bear much fruit. So you go from bearing fruit to more fruit to much fruit. God says, I'm able to do far more than you could ever imagine. If you are rooted in me and rooted in Christ. And so this idea of bearing much fruit, what does that do? That brings glory to God. And that's what Miguel prayed a little while ago, is this idea that God would receive glory from what happens here. But guess what? When you bear fruit in your own life, in the lives of your family, in the lives of the people around you, God gets all the glory. Because remember, as Jesus says, whoever abides in me and I in him, He it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. So that's my prayer for you as a church. That's my prayer for you as individuals. It's my prayer for myself, is that God would keep that connection strong, that I would remain connected and rooted in Him so that He may bear much fruit. And His verse, I think it's all the way at the end of the passage, it says, I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. And one of the things says that your fruit should last. This is eternal things that we're talking about. So that's my prayer for you. And let's close with prayer, and I pray that God will continue to make this a reality. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for the call to depend on you, to abide in you, to remain rooted in you. God, I pray that that would be true of every person in here. Lord, I pray for any person who has not yet put their roots in you, who has not yet placed their trust in you, God, that they would do that today. Just open the door to them so that they would see that they can abide in you for all eternity. God, thank you for the work of your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen.